Hey everybody, and welcome to Thursday, April 11th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast at war with North Korea. Joining me this week are in the first time for a couple of weeks, the regular set, Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
Yo. I was trying to remember.
So when do you think they're going to launch the missiles?
Never.
What if they've already tried and have messed up?
It's fun to think about, like... You know, it's like, all right, guys, we got to do it this time. We don't want to embarrass ourselves again. And then just, like, there's some underground explosion and it just never goes off.
I could just see, like, a missile falling over and, like, a bunch of guys rush to, like, push it back up and then stand there with their arms crossed, leaning against it to hold it up.
And they build, like, a statue of, like, casual soldiers holding something up.
It's like a...
Like the corollary to the American flag raising.
It's like a fist grabbing it and they're like, the fist is of our glorious leader.
Yeah. I figure you guys would be more worried that you're both,
They don't have missiles. West Coast they don't have missiles.
Yeah, they can't reach us.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, no. The hypothetical distance of the new one that they've been talking about but has never been tested can make West Coast, apparently.
I
highly doubt it would be capable of doing so, but I did see one of the maps that I think it was BBC posted up or something like that of the range of where it can hit.
Yeah. That map also said Austin, which who the fuck wants to hit Austin?
Maybe they're really mad at BioWare.
Well, that would be BioWare Austin, which I think makes the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it went free to play.
Right.
Because they know.
They sent Kim Jong-un an email saying that his partner is going to be really sad if his account expires.
All right, so let's talk about the biggest manga news this week. High School of the Dead came back, and it's fucking awful! Jesus Christ!
It was always awful!
I know, but I started reading it a couple of years ago when I was still less discerning, and I can't stop now, because it came back after 2 years.
Yeah, I've never read any of that.
No, it's just literally zombies and tits, and occasionally the two combine, and it's not pretty when that happens.
Well, in this chapter, a woman gets her head blown off, and then like focuses like on an ups like a down blouse shot of her as she's falling over without a head.
That's so this kind chapter, of impressive.
It takes place immediately after the last chapter, which happened in May of 2011. So, but there's no like recap or anything, so I don't know what the fuck is happening anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Nothing's happening. It never was happening. There's no plot in that manga.
They're moving towards something, but damn if I remember. And I don't know who the characters, like, I recognize maybe three of them.
Okay, there's orange-haired big tits. There's red-haired big tits with glasses. There's black-haired big tits with a sword. And then there's the yellow-haired nurse with big tits. And then orange big tits, her big tits mom joined them. So.
Okay. And then they have, like, a dog and a little girl and the guy.
And the guy that draws Helsing is with them, and then the main character.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm totally caught up then.
The complete exposure to this thing that I have seen is that one gif that's basically
the Sonic
the Matrix.
Yeah. With the boobs, like, her, like, bending them or, like,
dodging around the bullet as it fires.
That is an impressive... ignorance to how breasts actually move.
that fucking manga.
It's not that bad in the manga, but it's more like, oh, thank God we got away from those zombies. Oh, hey, this place we're squatting in has a bath. Let's all get in the bath together.
That's pretty much it.
People in manga are always really concerned about being clean. Like, above all else, they want to take baths. It's weird. I'm fine with
it. That manga has the same tone as Kenichi does now.
Yeah. Oh man, if only you knew what's been going on in that.
You showed me like isolated pictures and it's just basically everyone's naked and fighting.
Yes, and you know the childhood friend in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Well, now he's not in the wheelchair anymore and he's on Kenichi's side and they're fighting the main bad guy.
Well, he got out of the wheelchair pretty early, like, because they actually fought him at some point.
Yeah, but he fought in the wheelchair and at this point he just like stood up and they're like, oh, I guess he can walk.
All right, so enough about terrible TNA manga.
I thought we were going to talk about Attack on Titan. Or
is that also one?
No, it is most definitely not. If there is a word to describe this manga, it's probably depression. Yeah, so I guess for people who are watching the anime, in the description of this, I might get into manga spoilers just in world building sort of stuff, not events that are going to happen. So this will all be explained probably within the next episode or two. But the premise of this is at some point in the future, there are these, you know, giant monsters called Titans, which come out and are eating humanity. Basically, you know, Kronos comes out and they can regenerate instantly unless they are hit in the nape of their neck. And they range in size from being a little bit larger than large humans to being, I think, roughly 30, 40 feet in height. And they, you know, don't eat, they don't sleep or anything like that. They basically just go around and eat humans for fun. And all of humanity, as far as we know, only survives in this one walled-off city where the walls are over 100 feet high, so none of them can get over it. And it's been like this in a pseudo-medieval state for about 100 years at the time that the series starts. And it's basically about, you know, something happens which causes them to get into the first ring of – it's actually three concentric rings in the area. So there's a lot of countryside and that sort of stuff where they can raise crops inside of the safe zone. But something happens which causes the Titans to be able to break in and start attacking again, if you can really call it attacking because it's kind of mindless. And the entire thing is about humanity struggling to survive in face of this horrific, monstrous threat that there's really nothing that they can do anything about.
So with my very meager knowledge on both things, this sounds a little bit like Evangelion, just without robots.
It doesn't sound unlike it.
Not like about a city and things are coming to attack it.
Well, I mean, it's about a planet in Eva's case. But
I mean, in the loose,
and I mean, it's much more focused. There's one specific enemy. In this case, in Attack on Titan, there's literally hundreds of these things, if not thousands, going around.
So reverse Pokemon.
I'll take that back because I've only ever seen about an hour and a half of the Evangelion movie. Yeah. That's my only exposure to it.
Okay, but I mean, the series is if you want to read the manga, it's well done. It is depressing, but the artwork in it is very sketchy. It's a neat idea, and his implementation of everything is pretty well done. But the artwork itself is not all that great.
Is that why you told me to read the or watch the anime instead of reading the manga?
Yeah, and the anime the animation in this is phenomenal. When I first saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be a movie, and no, it's just really that well animated. And they've been the translation of the first one actually does seem to capture a lot of the dread that is in the manga. It does cut back on the gore a little bit, but that's kind of it would have to happen. Because this would be considered to be a seinen series, not shonen.
That's pretty par for the course when it comes to anime adaptations.
Yeah.
The thing is, I just... I don't know that I have the attention span for anime anymore.
Unless you're watching a whole series or something like that?
Even then, I've had access to Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood for God knows how many years now, and I've just never gotten around to watching it. Because something that's there, I have to sit and pay attention to, and it's subtitled means I can't just, you know, look away at something else for a couple of minutes or whatever.
For that one, there's a dub, and you could have also just read the manga, and it's the same story in that case. So
that one's a terrible excuse, but still,
yeah.
I just don't have the attention. That's why I read shonen manga, because you don't really need a fucking attention span for most of this stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, it is well done. It's as of yet not licensed, although there is rumors going around Funimation at one point had a splash page, but then apparently took it down, so maybe that fell through.
Weren't there rumors of a simulcast, or was that something else?
Yeah, well, there was rumors going around because they had the splash page, so they were expecting that it was going to get announced that Funimation was going to start simulcasting, but as of right now, I think the only country that it has been licensed in is France?
Which figures.
Is really strangely arbitrary.
Well, the theme is surrendering, so...
Not on the part of the main character.
Yeah.
Didn't we make
it was a cheap shot.
Did we make a French joke last week?
Probably.
I don't remember.
They're just so easily punchable.
Hey.
Okay, Lemieux, we'll lay off the French.
Now those damn Italians, those guys, we can...
All right, I got no transition there from that to...
Speaking of chest tattoos...
Because we were talking about that so much.
Beelzebub picks up where it did last week with Aoi getting her chest crest. The King's Crest.
Yes, and I am disappointed that my prediction was wrong.
Yep.
What was your prediction?
I thought that they would all have number one instead of being...
It seems numerical sequence rather than power.
Yeah.
So it starts with Oga taking a big number two on her chest. And...
How long were you sitting on that one?
A week.
You should have kept it in. But...
Well, I'm out. That's my contribution to this podcast. You guys go ahead.
So Ringo threatens to burn out Oga's eye if Kuneda does not beat her that time. Or this next time.
And Kuneda's okay with that.
Yeah. And Oga Beel, not so much. But they start another fight, and Ringo distracts Kuneda with punching through her own coat a bunch of times. Which is, I imagine, somewhat symbolic. Because it's the Red Tails leader coat.
It's also really cool whenever someone does that in a sword fight, I find.
Yes.
It's a neat effect.
But she used it just to get close to Nene as she was about to attack her, and Kuneda runs in and blocks it. She's like, I knew you'd pull something like this. It basically, this whole thing is like...
Keikaku.
Builds up to... Yeah. It builds up to Kuneda being awesome and then taking her coat back.
Yes. So which, she is the leader of the Red Tails once more. So,
which is the biggest fuck you to Nene I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, you're too incompetent, just get back. Just okay, mulligan, I'm just going to be leader again.
It comes right after Kuneda, it's like, no, you're not weak, you're very strong, give me the coat back.
And especially last week when Nene was like, we have to go stand on our own and help her. Oh, we couldn't do anything.
Well, to be fair, it was also recently established that the you know, the rule about people in the Red Tails can't be with guys is a stupid rule, according to the original founder. So
yeah.
So I hope Nene comes to the realization that she is not unlike Furuichi. Like, I am the girl Furuichi.
Yeah, that I read that and I was like, wow, this is a really triumphant moment for Kuneda and like a really big fuck you to Nene. And she puts on the coat and then...
And then does wall punches of her own.
Yeah. Puts all of Ringo's group into the wall.
So she gained Oga's abilities.
And Ringo says she's going to burn out Oga's eye. And Oga pulls off the tape and breaks the handcuffs. And says, time's up. He's no longer a hostage.
He's like, yeah. I'm just going to watch now.
I just love the very casual, just snap the handcuffs, rip off the leash, and just walk away.
I like Beel looking confused, like he doesn't know what just happened. Though I guess it is a time-based thing.
Yeah.
Because we were wondering about that last week.
Seems like maybe a couple hours.
Yeah.
But eventually... I don't even know if it's been that long. I think it was just like, you know, half an hour maybe.
20 minutes. Yeah. But now Oga is an observer and not a hostage.
So now there's nothing holding Aoi back.
Yep. So, and she has her crest and she has her coat.
So my takeaway from this chapter is that Ringo is not a magic user, or else she would have pulled it out by now.
Maybe. Now that Aoi has the crest, maybe they'll actually start the match for real?
I don't know. Attacking Oga was her desperation move, and that's
yeah,
that.
I think that she wouldn't have bothered going back to the hostage if she were capable of pulling out some more stops.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think the only magic users are probably the people who were named after the stuff in Oga's dream.
The premonition people.
Yeah. And she, I don't... Yeah, she wasn't one of them, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, it was Taka, Fuji, and Eggplant.
Nasu.
Yeah, that guy. What's his name? The dead guy.
Naruto.
Yeah. Yeah, so this chapter, the third Hokage came back after the fourth failed. There's parallels.
Yes.
So, overall, anyway.
See, the second one's an asshole, and the first one's awesome. It all fits up. I like this chapter.
Yeah. It was a good chapter. It just felt a little underwhelming because this was chapter 200. You know, I was expecting some crowning moment, and I guess the closest we got was her putting the cape back on. But
big moment,
still funny.
Big moment for Aoi fans. I kind of thought that her putting the coat on was the end of the chapter just because it was such an awesome panel. I was like, oh, that was a good chapter. Oh, wait, it's still going.
I think it's just hilarious that she just took it from Nene. She got Furuichi'd hard.
They did not accomplish
not
anything.
Not quite yet, because she has to accept that she was Furuichi'd.
I hope Furuichi is the one to bring this up, like, to try and console her. Be like,
yeah, you know, just puts his hand on her shoulder and is like, it's okay.
Oh, that has to happen.
They were made for one another.
They spent so long trying to establish, like, oh, Nene's not lesser than Aoi. She's a good leader. Like, nope, fuck that.
Yeah,
it's also kind of funny how this happened immediately after we just had the thing where Kanzaki finally had his moment of, you know, coming out as badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think it's hilarious. So, predictions for next week?
I think that we're going to wrap up with this fight next week.
Yeah, I bet Ringo gets sent packing with her tail between her legs. Maybe she will come back with magic powers, but I don't think she has them now.
I think she's going to lose and give them information that will lead them to the next person.
Like Taka hired me or something to distract you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to continue down the chain to find out what's going on. I wonder if the next thing we're going to find out is what happened with, what's his name?
Tojo?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. That has to come up eventually.
You were the one that had the theory, right, Greg, that Tojo was like brought into the fold of the bad guys because he was seeking powers?
I think I agreed. I wasn't the person who originally brought that up, though.
But me.
Wasn't me.
Probably one of our guest people.
Yeah.
One of those losers. Say
Emerson. He'll like us giving him credit.
Yeah, Beelzebub. That was a chapter.
Good chapter.
Yep. Good fighting chapter.
I would say it's probably the only good chapter this week.
I wouldn't say that.
I would. Because I did not like the rest.
We'll get there. Be a all right. Grouchy old man cast.
Speaking of grouchy old men, Bleach returns where...
I'm just laughing because I know you're going to really hate this chapter and it's going to be funny.
I don't know what I think of this chapter. I think it's stupid.
So that really was the end of the fight.
Yeah. She hit him with the whitey whackers and then he blows up.
I forgot that we were going to keep calling him that.
Still appropriate.
So, yeah, they kill Whitey, which theme of many rap albums.
And everyone then seems kind of surprised that he blows up, as if, you know, that wasn't a thing they built into him.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Tosin, like, takes it really hard. He gets way too attached to these things.
Well, he named him. Like how little kids aren't supposed to name lobsters when they go into the restaurant.
Well, that's exactly what happened, wasn't it?
Like, I gave him a nickname and everything.
So
his favorite color was sparkles.
So Ishin takes the blast for Misaki. That's how he gets all beat up.
And that's why she falls in love with him, I guess.
Yeah, and he falls in love with a high school student.
Yep. I brought this up as creepy the first time it came out. It was like, no.
I didn't realize she was in high school. I thought she was like
she was wearing an outfit.
I don't know, college student or something. I don't know.
I thought you could say cosplay enthusiast.
Cosplay enthusiast, what?
No, he is not Oga.
So basically the rest of the chapter is what you're thinking about, I don't know, stuff. Like, they just stare off thinking about each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see that the other Quincy's were watching her, and somebody pointed out that, what was it,
her pin, or her brooch is...
Katagiri?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, her brooch is the Vanderreich.
Yeah.
Symbol.
Yeah, and that was Robin who pointed that out, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Let's give a credit to Emerson again.
Yeah. She just gets everything this week. So it's the pentagram with the lines coming out of the star at the tips, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I actually didn't notice, and so I guess these Quincy's are connected to the Van der Reich, like real
Quincy. Well, I mean, there's only so many Quincy's to go around.
All the Quincy's in existence are standing in this place. It stands to reason that one of them is involved.
And it's not like the Ishida family was going to be removed from this Van der Reich stuff. Of course they were going to be like a core part of it.
Yeah.
Otherwise Ishida would have gone on the mission.
Yeah, we still have to find out what the hell he's up to.
So do you think it's Ishida's dad that's behind it, or do you think this Katagiri girl is behind it?
There's a decent chance she's Ishida's mom.
Yeah, no, yeah. I I'm guessing that the two of them ended up as being Ishida's parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they took separate paths on vengeance, probably.
Or, you know, they're just asshole Van der Reichs, too.
Yeah, they have brain problems where they love too much.
I don't even know how to connect to that one.
So then the end of the chapter is Eisening about how everything went exactly according to plan.
Well, no, it's not that he had a plan. He was like, oh, well, wouldn't it be neat to see what happened?
Or wait, no, this is the middle of the chapter.
Yeah, that's not the end of the chapter.
It's not over yet.
That's the end of Ishin's report, because he was talking about everything that Aizen just said, right?
So I'm presuming it was Aizen that gave all that information?
That's how he knew Aizen was there watching him. As he's telling Ichigo the story.
So as Misaki is walking home with her girlfriends, they're all like, he may be your cousin, but he's totally hot. I would do him even if he were my cousin. Which just seems like really inappropriate discussion of anything.
Well, technically they're second cousins, right? So then it's perfectly okay.
Maybe that's what Urahara is freaked out about as he passes them. This conversation that's going on.
It's like, what the fuck? What did I just hear?
Kids these days, goddamn. With their Pokemon and their incest.
Well, his girlfriend's a cat.
Well, no. Yeah. So, what's up with her face or whatever that is in the last couple panels?
Is she
like he touches her or something?
Is she feeling she feels the darkness or something.
Yeah,
I think
the assumption that Whitey attached itself to her somehow.
Yeah, that's what I took away from it.
Yeah,
we know it gets to Ichigo somehow. So
probably pregnancy.
Yeah. I guess that's one thing we skipped over with Aizen, is it's revealed that Whitey was made from a dead Shinigami, basically. Somehow. I don't know how that works, but they turned a dead ghost into another type of ghost.
A ghost trick, if you will.
Oh, so that's what they were talking... So some of the guys seem to think that it was implying that it was the guy who looks identical to Ichigo was the dead body that they used?
I don't think the timeline is up for that.
Which, yeah, and it makes absolutely no sense.
Because that very recently happened with Rukia.
Yeah,
well, it wasn't just very recently happened with Rukia. It's that he was also eaten by the same one that kills Misaki and becomes one of the...
No, he wasn't eaten by Grand Fisher. He was eaten by the spider thing. The thing that becomes...
Well, that's right. It wasn't Grand Fisher. It was...
Because it controlled him, didn't it?
Yeah.
But then that's also... I think it copies DNA. I don't think it actually absorbed him.
Oh, okay.
Some bullshit with it, but the timelines don't match up, because I'm pretty sure Toshiro is a captain when he dies.
Yeah,
I'm fairly sure. So Ishin's gone by then. The timelines just don't match up, so
okay.
I don't think it's him. It's an interesting theory, but it just doesn't work out.
But yeah, she totally still has a hollow inside her, and Urahara picks up on that and I guess does absolutely nothing.
Yeah. No, he looks menacing and continues walking.
I didn't hate the chapter. It was dumb.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for this flashback to be over.
It's kind of the Naruto problem of like, it's like, okay, I figured it out. I get it. I get where this is going.
But she's staring longingly through the window. Don't you feel her raw emotion?
Yeah.
High school puppy love.
I actually don't mind Misaki as a character. I like her so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her better than Ichigo.
Yeah.
I like both of his parents better than Ichigo. And his sisters.
It's when did I
And all his friends.
Like I'm just kind of like, when's the point when I stopped enjoying Ichigo as a character? Because he was a lot of fun earlier in the series.
And the Soul Society.
Well, it so like at the start of the series, he was kind of his thing was kind of that he was an asshole like to everybody, which was almost kind of endearing.
And then, he was Yusuke. That was his thing.
Yeah, and then at some point he just becomes like the absolute typical shonen archetype of I'm doing things because I'm good, because they're good, everything's good, justice.
I think when he became basically unbeatable, that's when he became boring to me.
Well, but then after he became quote-unquote unbeatable, that's when he started just losing all the time.
There was
some... But not in any significant capacity.
There was a point where Ichigo just started whining about everything. I think that's when I stopped liking him.
Yeah.
Also, his love triangle has no drama whatsoever.
Is it even one at this point?
No. It's not even like a love line at this point. It's like Orihime likes him, he may or may not know this.
You know, there's actually very little romance in Bleach if you think about it.
There's more in Naruto than there is in Bleach.
There's
which...
way more. Like, in Bleach, there's only one or two characters that, like, even, like, are not just asexual. I don't know, it's just kind of
weird.
In
Naruto, you have, you know, bromance out the wazoo.
And Karen. She brings
her... You mentioned the bromance.
Here, put on this yellow wig.
Should we just go on to that, then?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say the flashbacks wrap up next week.
Yeah.
The revelation probably is going to be that you're a hollow baby or whatever, and Aizen's evil.
You're a hollow Quintei Shinigami baby slash human.
He's gonna go down his fingers and be like, yeah, okay, I got everything.
Yeah, and that is why the God of Soul Society is so interested in you. Remember that guy?
Okay, yes.
The big featureless dude?
That had the
Ichigo
one
was
panel
supposed to
that
meet.
Supposedly was supposed to be really interested in him?
The El Shaddai dude, yeah, okay. Yeah, so, I don't know. Next week could be interesting. See where this goes.
Yeah. Until then, meh.
Until then, Naruto. Which ended its flashbacks.
It did. It ended them last week with Hashiruma's point of sometimes ninjas do things, and sometimes those things are things.
I really wonder what he was trying to... Where
What's
he
your
was
take,
Greg?
You weren't here. I want to hear what you think about the lesson.
My takeaway from the lesson was just bursting out laughing listening to last week's podcast. It was just like I finished it and all I could think was, and what was the point of all of this?
I was really hoping that's what Sasuke's reaction was going to be.
I feel like even he knew there was nothing at the end, so he just said Itachi a bunch of times. And Sasuke's like, oh, I get it.
I really think that's what the thing was, because then he goes like, oh, I see. Itachi.
I know that guy.
I kind of tuned out until he said Itachi, but now that you said his name.
What were we doing?
So the point that, you know, we were... And what kills me is this entire sentence right here is, if you remember way back in the day, he, like, actually had this entire thought about this. So, okay, if I continue down the path that I'm on, everything my brother went for will be for nothing. I'm going to continue going down my path.
That's when
and this time he just does the complete reversal of that for no apparent reason.
I think Kishimoto wrote himself into a corner because there's no possible answer Hashirama could have given Sasuke that would have convinced him that would not have otherwise convinced him, like before.
There's a perfectly logical answer. Sasuke has brain problems.
That's true.
Well, we've already established that one.
He canonically has brain problems.
I still hate, like, of all the things in this arc, that's the one that pisses me off.
They love too much, Imran.
Because it gives him such an out for being a huge dick.
Don't you know, people who love too much are just terrible people. Oh, but my favorite moment of this chapter is when the second was like, and I'm totally not racist, because I had this Uchiha
Black
best
friend.
Friend.
Oh, yeah. I was going to edit that Stephen Colbert picture of him with the black friend and have, like, the second Hokage pointing at an Uchiha. It's like, no, I knew this one guy. He was great. You're not all dicks.
I was hoping the third and the first would be like, I didn't know that guy. He's like, no, he totally existed.
Like, I'm looking through the records. I have the records right here. There is no Uchiha with that name. There's a Sarutobi with that name. Is that who you're talking
about? Maybe you're the racist ones.
And then I also liked how, and then of course, because he was the good Uchiha, he was the best friend of Itachi. His son was the best friend of Itachi.
They didn't love too much, so they weren't dicks. I like how the third point is like, you know, maybe I could have not killed all the Uchihas. That probably would have been a good idea.
I like how the fourth has a realization of, maybe I shouldn't have just killed myself for basically no reason.
Left this incompetent old asshole right here in charge. Fucking genocide half the village.
Like, maybe I could have stopped that by not, you know, killing everybody.
You know, maybe I should have realized Danzo is evil.
And Sasuke is even, like, matter of fact, that you're like, oh yeah, I killed that guy. And Sword's like, shit, really?
It's like, whoops. Yeah, but, you know, even in his last breath, he seemed to have the best interest of the village at his heart. So, you know, obviously by having the best interest of the village at heart, too, that just completely underscores that I'm making the right choice here, being more like Danzo.
Guys.
What?
Parallels.
Oh. You should have seen that coming.
You thought he was going to say something else?
Well, I know there's like a tornado warning where you are, so I was like, is your house off the ground right now?
Nah, just throwing that, because that's what Danzo essentially was doing for his final moment. He was Itachi-ing. Like, well, I had to do all that stuff because village.
I love what a whiny bitch Orochimaru is after the fourth
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, like, oh, and I got passed over for being the fourth.
I'm just gonna, like, clap really slowly and sarcastically for you, fourth Hokage.
In fairness, he was clearly evil.
Yeah, that is at this point, he was already, you know, had his underground lab where he was abducting people and everything, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think he'd already fleed the village at that point.
Regardless, still super evil. Like, look at him.
You look like a monster, and you are a monster. You grind people up and drink them through your veins.
And also get drunk through people's veins.
But I have to say, my favorite part of this chapter is the two-page spread, which consists entirely of every scene where Itachi was telling Sasuke he was an idiot.
I love the top left corner panel of when he's screaming at Sasuke, you're going to be my new light.
Yeah, I mean, Sasuke's an idiot, but Itachi really didn't play this very well. Like, he sent a lot of mixed messages to Sasuke.
Yeah, the whole, you know, attacking him and everything like that when he's still in the village, probably not the best way to go about doing this.
He, like, what, beat him to within an inch of his life, like, twice?
Well, the entire point was to try and make it so Sasuke could be a hero for taking revenge on Itachi, but...
He could have easily done that the first time he was in the village, just, whoops, oh, you got me.
Instead, he just told him to look at a tablet that apparently confused the hell out of Madara.
The breakup tablet?
Think about it, everyone who's read that tablet has broken up with their bromance.
Oh, we don't need to go down this rabbit hole of remembering every time.
I'm saying, you can't, there's no exceptions.
Didn't Obito find that tablet too?
Yes.
Ah! Okay.
I'm just still loving this wall of Itachi.
Just, hey, remember
so then
Itachi?
They all decide to go fight Madara.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love, who is it?
Sugino?
Someone asks Orochimaru, like, hey, how come you're not evil anymore? And he's just like, I don't know.
Oh, Third does.
Oh, is that who did?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's a little later in the chapter than I thought
it was. Yeah, no, the I'm not evil is a little bit later, but there's the, I remember you saying that you would follow Sasuke's decision.
And then...
For no apparent reason.
Then Suigetsu just decides to hang out with strong people so he doesn't get hurt.
Well, then he bolts off and starts running. At which point, Karin comes back, and I guess is either in a prison jumpsuit or pajamas?
Prison. That's what she...
Okay.
And the prison was in Konoha, so that makes sense why she's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense why she's still lovesick following Sasuke.
She was... What was it in... No, that's right. She wasn't with the intelligence people that got...
No, she was in... I think she was in the root cells down below the village.
Okay.
And she somehow got out with a picture of Sasuke.
She's tsundere now.
Maybe she showed it to the guards.
What do you mean now?
She
kind of always was.
No, she, there was a lockpick behind the picture.
No, that makes sense. Also, it has Orochimaru's best line, which is, while I was inside Kabuto, I came to the realization that emulating me was the correct way to go about this.
Oh, you mean when, like, you were absorbed him? No.
That happened? What? Oh, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. What I meant. Yes, not that wonderful night in Paris.
So, yeah, all of Team Snake, were they at the end? Team Snake is back?
Yeah, heavy.
Yeah. Which... they make special mention that Karen is an Uzumaki.
Yeah. Well, we learned that before.
We've known that before, but they made special mention of it, I'm sure, for some other reason.
So, someone brought it up on the forums. How come Naruto didn't know any of his mother's side of the family?
Because they didn't know he was alive.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah, he was raised in secret. But
he was raised in secret.
But they called him Uzumaki.
The last
but...
name Uzumaki,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, think maybe it's they didn't want to know. The majority of his family is from another village. The entire thing is that they brought his mother in as because she was the Chinchuriki.
I'll buy that. I guess Karen was a special case. She was a freak experiment.
Yeah. Like we don't know why her section of the family was from Konoha, but technically the rest of Naruto's family is all supposed to be in another village.
And we know that the only reason Karen's in Uzumaki is because they can have her and Sasuke get together.
Wear this yellow writ. Wear the yellow wig and say
it's orange jumpsuit.
So the end of this chapter is really hot-blooded. Got my fist pumping.
Yeah, all the Hokages on top of their Hokage statues.
Tsunade half cut off to the side.
She may be still alive, probably.
No, half of her is, anyway.
Yeah, see, the symbolism of it.
I do like that they Fourth says he has a present for Naruto, which obviously is going to be
the
rest
of the
Kyuubi chakra. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, huh. That'll be cool.
Because he has that still inside of him.
But, yeah, I am okay with the direction that this is going, but this chapter was just so stupid. Start to end.
Well, it's going in a direction, which is more than I can say for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Although,
I have to say, to a certain degree, it's going to be a little anticlimactic having, you know... the old Hokages helping out against Madara instead of having, you know, the new generation beat him.
I'm guessing they're not going to be as big a help as we think.
Or Madara's just going to release it at some point.
Yeah, well, if he's going to find some way to, like, dispel one by one their resurrection.
Yeah.
I could see them getting taken out one by one pretty quickly.
Yep. Or they end up fighting the Ten Tails where everyone else fights Madara.
Yeah. I don't know, I could see them getting chatted pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, really, they're just doing this because it's the big fan service moment of, oh my god, the Hokages are back.
And it worked. That last panel was awesome.
Let's all jump on each other's heads. Third, get off of there. Come to this one.
It's like, yeah, I just see them like looking up like, I can't tell. Which one am I on? They're in order, you idiots. Get off Tsunade. God damn it, fourth Hokage.
Third, secretly disappointed that he doesn't have two heads because he was Hokage twice.
Mine should be bigger than all yours.
And you can't no make Naruto bigger. Next week.
Oh,
that's true. You can't.
It is on break next week, huh? Oh, next week's issue too. Oh, we got Golden Week coming up. Oh no.
Yep. So I guess 3 weeks from now there will be nothing.
At some point.
Yeah.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
All right, then.
War next week.
Yep.
Nothing next week, actually. So no predictions.
Well, we could still predict, but...
oh, we can't.
We're not allowed.
The next chapter will be them running on their way to war.
I bet it cuts back to Naruto.
Yeah, I think it's going to jump back to the other stuff going on.
I'm betting they're going to have, like, a moment of, like, one of their centers be like, oh my god, a bunch of huge chakras are coming.
Yeah.
One of them's Orochimaru.
And so they're thinking that it's, you know, a bunch of evil people or something like that that are coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone gets on the defensive, and then the Hokages come.
And then Sasuke and Orochimaru show up, and they go, fuck! And then the Hokages show up, and they go, fuck?
We're already dead, it doesn't matter.
And then they go, fuck, they're being controlled by the
oh, yeah,
by Sasuke.
Oh yeah, they don't know that this is a different.
That was the joke I made of Kakashi freaking out and doing the death god jutsu and sealing them immediately. It's like, quick, before they can act.
Well, I guess Hashirama is not controlled. We've established that.
Yeah, he's free to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think it would be I'm cool still if... wondering if there's going to be some like double take where Orochimaru decides to, you know, turn evil at the last moment, trying to control the others, and Hashirama just has to kind of put an end to that.
I think there's a non-zero chance that Orochimaru is going to take out over Madara's body.
I don't know. He seems pretty neutered at this point.
Nah, we'll see.
I'm bothered by how completely passive it is. With him.
Well, I assume he's playing some sort of long con.
I don't know. He's getting gentle in his old age.
What?
Maybe being inside Kabuto does change somebody.
He saw that big nose memory and just shook him to his core and made him reevaluate things.
What I expect is going to happen is that Naruto is going to try to get the drop on the Hokages, and so he's going to like try to Rasengan the fourth, and he's going to pull him into a hug or something.
Yeah. And then,
because that sounds like a very Kishimoto thing.
That's going to be so awesome watching them fight.
Yeah. Well, it'll be awesome in a couple of weeks.
Be so awesome in a couple of weeks.
Alright, so done with Naruto. On to Nisekoi, which I will say from the outset is the most contrived Nisekoi chapter I have ever seen.
What?
I still think that the three numbers one was more contrived.
No, this is worse.
Great.
I don't know. The idea of mobsters having explosive rigged handcuffs is more reasonable than having the password on a briefcase be the measurements of the daughter.
Of the guy. Remember?
Oh,
It wasn't actually hers. It was his own three measurements. Yeah.
But it's not only that they have exploding handcuffs. They have exploding handcuffs that they for some reason give to Segumi. And she, for some reason, takes to school, and then for some reason happens to bump into Raku.
Yeah, why did she take them to school?
Yeah.
Okay, I can understand. I can, like, buy everything else that happens in this chapter.
Really?
I don't know.
Yes.
If you had handcuffs that could explode, wouldn't you take them to school to show off to people?
Absolutely.
No.
So she bumps into Raku, and of course they both get handcuffed together.
Oh, yes, and the premise with these handcuffs is that they're lie detectors, so they're, you know, it senses the heartbeat, and if it goes over a certain level, then they explode.
So obviously
Which
being...
means they can't get too flustered.
Yes. And so,
I really wonder if the non-synchronization between the two cuffs messed with it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was intended for one person, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, by the end of this, it's like a combination of their two pulses.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Are you saying it's contrived?
Just a little.
So this chapter is amazing for the first half because of Sugumi's reactions.
She can't get angry because that would raise the cuffs to explode.
Also, like, Raku keeps pushing himself close to her to do things, like get out of the way of someone.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like they can get that far from one another anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, they're pretty long handcuffs as far as handcuffs go.
They go outside, and then Segumi, in what may be the most awkward fan service I've seen in this manga, she gets water dumped on her, and then you can see through her shirt, and she has to take it off, and not much is left to the imagination in the scene.
I thought the scene was okay. I don't see what your guys' problems are.
Also, how did she take the shirt off?
She ripped it with her teeth.
I did appreciate that they actually... Because I was like, wait, they're handcuffed. How do you get a shirt off?
Yeah, I just like how there's the one panel that... I have no idea what the hell is going on with it, but there's an arrow pointing to it, and it says that she tore through it with her teeth.
Yeah, it's very light text. I see how I missed that. But she puts on Raku's coat, or Raku puts his coat on her.
So... I have a question. Why wouldn't she rather just be wet than be walking around in her bra?
I guess catch a cold?
So?
Depending on how... I guess it is the middle of winter, technically, right?
I don't know. It could be June by now. Who knows?
You can catch pneumonia that way.
I don't know. I'm fine with the scene. It's pretty
just
cool.
Just kind of like, why don't they, you know... go into the nurse's office, or go back to Chitoge's place and get another shirt, or something like that,
She's going to go get her gym clothes.
Yeah. Instead of going to make out point.
Because contrivances.
Yeah.
So they go to the makeout point, and Sugumi thinks that she's making the pulsometer go off the charts. So she does a bunch of calming down exercises, and it's still halfway. So it must be Raku.
Which causes her to get flustered.
And then it explodes.
Except
killing
it
everybody.
Turns out, yeah. And then they're both blood smears everywhere.
Raku and Sugumi are dead, leaving it open for the Onodera-Chitoge relationship to take off.
As we discussed last week.
We really nailed that one.
You know, I'm not sure that would be a good twist, but I'd respect the hell out of that twist.
Well, the main character's dead. What do you want?
Yeah, I was going to say, would you respect the hell out of killing the main character or just having the spinoff of those two?
I mean, just having the balls to just do that. Just like when it looked like Fairy Tail killed off this entire cast.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing for that week that we thought
yeah.
was dead.
I was like, that Fairy Tail is the best manga of all time. Then they brought them back as if nothing changed.
Except everybody else in the world is stronger, therefore...
God, it's all time travel, and there's a Lucy from the future, and they're, like, trying to prevent dragons from coming back by killing her.
Wait, is that what's happening?
Yes! There's a giant door that's opening, and...
There was a brief period where I absolutely loved that manga. Like, I liked it more than One Piece.
Okay. Everybody loves Fairy Tail for the first arc they read, and then the second arc is like, oh, that was pretty similar. I bet the next one's gonna be good. Oh, wait, that was the same again. That was the same again.
It had really good characters until even the characters couldn't carry it anymore.
Anyway, Nisekoi.
Yeah, Nisekoi. Yeah. So the handcuff just sort of, like, falls off.
And
or shoots in the air.
Sugumi runs home half-naked.
Yes.
Saying, shut up,
yeah.
Ugu. It's not like
and,
I like you thing.
And that's pretty much the end of the chapter.
So did she know that it was going to not explode?
No.
No.
I didn't know how to interpret that, like, flashback or whatever, right?
No, it wasn't a flashback. It was a phone call, I think. I think it was just showing the other side of it.
When was she told that?
I don't know. It is a phone call. It's got the text, like... Yeah, this really doesn't make sense. Contrived.
It's very confusing.
I like the text at the end. The bomb itself had nothing to do with it. Whatever. Who cares?
It was a literal plot device.
We got Sugumi in a bra. What do you want?
Quick, vote for us. We need to go up in the rankings.
That guy who voted for Marika 1,500 times is like, oh god, things are changing.
Oh, they did really good on all that D-cup talk. I've complained in the past.
You have indeed complained about this in the past. I wonder if ratings are slipping.
No. I mean, it's been
really
around the same for a while, but this is literally, it's just another one of those one-off, we need to fill time with something that might be entertaining chapters, just like the three numbers.
We are talking
well, there's that, but I mean, I'm specifically referring to the, her shirt gets wet and there's a large up-close scene of her, like, her boobs jutting out of her bra.
Uh-huh.
I really think that, like, he's making a play to make this more fan service-y.
Uh-huh.
Nisekoi.
You seem real bothered by this concept, Mike.
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't, yeah. What?
I think the manga is better when it's cute as opposed to trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the first half of this chapter with the reaction shots, like, every panel, was pretty entertaining.
The thing about Nisekoi is it's a lot more adorable than it is sexy. Like, I don't know if I'd describe any of the girls as sexy.
Yeah.
Not
but
in
I mean,
the slightest.
This is clearly an attempt to change that perception.
Yeah, the boobs aren't really drawn that nice.
It's a pretty elaborately drawn bra.
Gonna critique the artwork.
That is a pretty elaborately drawn bra.
Which is weird. I thought, like, she always had hers, like, taped down or something. I thought they'd referenced that before.
Fan service.
Okay, contrivances.
And she's squeezing them together in one scene. I mean, come on.
You're really bothered by this, Imran.
Let's keep.
I'm a little bothered by this. Yes. I don't think this is the direction Nisekoi should go.
Middle school kids.
I agree with that.
Hopefully, they don't double down on this next week.
I get it.
I don't
One Piece. I don't know what the fuck happened in this chapter.
It's because most of the translations for it were pretty terrible.
Yeah. Like, really bad.
It happens to coincide with One Piece becoming really, really wordy.
On the cover thing, I'm guessing this is the end of this cover arc.
Please, God.
I don't know. Caribou's not in it. So this is Drake's crew or something, right? Someone pointed that out.
No, it's not X-Drake. It's a Kaido.
Kaido, okay.
Yeah, so this is the island that X-Drake had landed on, and it specifically showed him facing off against this number 18 guy.
So this is someone we'll see again when they go to fight Kaido, I would imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, at the beginning, shows basically Franky commenting on the fact that part of Blackbeard's crew is there,
we forgot to mention that Jesus is actually the captain of his own crew now. The Blackbeard Pirates have been split up like the Whitebeard Pirates were.
We don't know if they actually are or if he's just naming them that way as a...
Well, he's captain of the First Division, so that's how Whitebeard's dudes were named.
Yeah. Do we know that Blackbeard's not just kind of mocking Whitebeard's memory by naming his people that way?
I could see him having done that in the meantime.
I could see him becoming like a Commodore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he had so many people. I could see them setting up like a network of people that Luffy's going to have to fight through to get to him. Anyway,
certainly seems reasonable. Yeah.
Anyway, Franky's talking about him.
Yep. So yeah. Franky's talking about him, and then basically goes, "I'm going to have to be the responsible one and try and find the factory. So I guess I'll have to find somebody in the Doflamingo family and beat them up." The toy soldier reacts, "No, don't say that out loud. What are you wrong? What's wrong with you?"
Yeah, the crowd was glaring at Franky as he was saying that.
Yeah. And basically saying, let's go off someplace else and, you know, talk about the factory thing. So it seems to imply that this guy might actually know something.
I bet you there's some dark secret to this island. Everything's just way too happy.
Yeah. Like, Law even points out at one point that the prince just resigned. And everyone's acting like that didn't happen.
I think that that's just implying that that's one of the things where maybe he didn't really actually resign.
I'm not wondering if this is the kind of place where it's like, you know, a Stepford Wives kind of thing. Like, as soon as they start being down, like, they get killed or something. So everyone has to be happy all the time, because that's what Doflamingo wants.
Hmm.
I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, just so anyway, like, oh god, it's horrible here, but we have to be smiling all the time. Anyway,
yeah,
Marines.
Everybody seems pretty enthusiastic about it right now, but... Yeah. So anyway, moving on to the next thing, it's revealed that there are, in the contestants, there is one of the members of the Marines who is passing out information about who all has entered into the tournament.
Yeah, registered under the name Catman.
Yes. And, you know, he mentions specifically Gambia the missionary, who is one of Bartolomeo's staff officers, and then says, actually, never mind, he's not, I was incorrect, I've taken care of the problem, because he is completely beaten up and knocked out this guy and just stashed him in a storage, actually in the toilet. just noticed that, the WC above it. Is a Marine HQ Vice Admiral.
Named Maynard the Pursuer.
Yes. And then, actually, what's it called? Similar to how Luffy's number was a reference to a chapter name, the name of the chapter that is this guy's number is something about the Marines. It was just kind of a throwaway sort of thing. I don't remember what it is, though. What is it, 429?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's Maynard.
Complete Defeat is the name of the chapter. Complete Defeat is the name of the chapter, and that's what happens to him later in the chapter. So it's just kind of a throwaway Easter egg sort of thing. So keep an eye out for any other numbers you guys might see.
So it actually gets to Fujitora at some point, which confirms that he is an admiral.
Yes, and he specifically was also listening in on the conversation for, you know, who all's in there. And so he ups the order of the number of Marines that are supposed to be coming to the island. So obviously the Marines are also getting up to something right now.
I assume it's not just Luffy related.
Yeah, that seems probably to be has to the do implication. With all of... Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like the some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah, like I think they want to do a sting to take out everybody who is in this tournament.
Because Fujitora also says they need to call in the medic unit for the people that are the people and property that is going to be damaged in the upcoming thing.
Yeah.
So.
And then the other shoe drops, I suppose, when it's Law, Usopp, Robin, and Caesar Crown sitting at a restaurant waiting for directions to figure out how to get the green bit.
Law and Caesar both have silly mustaches.
Yes, he has a fantastic mustache.
I love Caesar's disguise because it still says gas on his shirt.
So anyway, we find out a little bit about the bridge to Green Bit, which continues to make me wonder why Law chose this as the drop-off point.
Apparently you haven't been able to get there for years because of the fighting fish.
And Law, I guess he didn't know it because he seems just as interested in like how to get there and why they're blocking it off.
I love Usopp and Caesar becoming kindred spirits in their desire to run away.
Yeah, to avoid this place.
Yeah. God, Law has an amazing mustache.
So while this is happening, Robin...
I just realized what that mustache is. He has Gold Rogers' mustache.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. It's the same style mustache.
The big curly mustache.
Yeah.
So Robin freaks out.
Yeah, she notices somebody and guards her face.
Because and apparently CP0 is here.
CP0.
Yeah.
And they look awesome. I love their character designs.
They're very incognito.
Yes.
Yeah. Then again, on this island, who would be able to tell, right?
Yeah, they're pretty normal.
If they're CP0 and they're the strongest ones, does that mean CP9 is like 9 leagues weaker than them?
Well, there was also CP6, but they had a different function than CP9. I'm not sure it directly scales to
power.
I think they each have different, responsibilities.
Yeah, I would guess that the idea is that CP9 is the one for, Paradise, and CP0 is for the New World or something like that.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Maybe 9's for, getting dirty business done, like going undercover and taking people out.
And CP0 is just...
We're going to walk around and look crazy and be super strong.
Yeah. So from there, it switches to Zoro catching his sword from the fairy.
Yeah, so he gets his sword back.
Who we don't
see. We still can't see, yeah.
So is it a tiny fairy, maybe?
I don't know.
I assume they're just invisible.
Yeah, the pouch fell on him. And then apparently they say we screwed up, a human saw us.
We see Zoro looking at something.
Yeah, so Zoro sees something.
See, I would have thought this was going to be Absalom, since it seemed invisible. But the Kia makes me think it's not him.
Yeah.
And he also said us, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Kinemon is being hassled by some guards.
Who recognize easily that he's a samurai because he has a topknot and a sword and sandals and looks like a samurai.
Yeah.
But he has a beard and glasses. How could he possibly be Kinemon?
I just love how quickly they figure out exactly who he is.
Yeah.
Like, who else would have a topknot?
It's like, you have a topknot. You're Kinemon!
And then Sanji takes out a sniper about 8 meters above him.
I love the panel, though, of the sniper shot from far away, and then all of a sudden he's right up in his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
up on the tower that she's looking at, apparently.
Violet's really into it.
His Black Widow is very happy about this.
I love the letter to Nami and Robin.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was intending to write it to the whole crew, but he only really acknowledges Nami and Robin.
Well, no, I mean, he's been doing that the entire time, throughout the series.
Remember when he went to the Okama Island and he had the letter to Nami and Robin about how he's in hell?
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. Then it goes back to the ship and Chopper, Momonosuke.
You mean Choppermon.
Yeah, Choppermon, Momonosuke, and Nami are playing Shogun.
Yes, Onami.
Yeah.
Get it? Because she's a whore.
Yes. And apparently this is a game where everyone treats him as the Lord.
And Brooke wants in on that action, but Nami's not having it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the minstrel.
Lap pillow.
That kid knows how to manipulate his situation to his advantage.
Yeah, freaking kids.
And it's pretty amusing. And then we find out that apparently there's somebody else on the ship.
Yeah.
We've seen everyone else leave, right?
Yeah. So I'm thinking there's a stowaway from Punk Hazard.
It's either a stowaway or I'm thinking maybe fairies. Might tie into the Zorro thing.
I'm wondering if it is a stowaway, like who it's going to be. Be funny
if
it
was there from Punk Hazard that it could be.
Be funny if it was just like pieces of Virgo work their way onto the ship. A head's just going to come rolling out.
I can't imagine who it would possibly be.
Yeah, that is actually the question I'm most interested in seeing answered, is who's on the ship.
So obviously we're not going to find that one out next week.
Yeah. Well, it is the last in the introduced scenes. That was scene 6. So next is
back to the Colosseum.
And we see Catman having been taken out and put there as well. So he is strong enough to be able to take out a Vice Admiral.
I'm going to be honest, I don't care for all of this splitting up of characters and constantly bouncing between scenes. It was fine in Punk Hazard, but doing it again is losing my attention.
Dude, that's One Piece.
I know,
you know,
but
I'm really enjoying this arc. I'm liking how this is spiraling out of control very quickly.
It seems so schizophrenic to me.
Well, that was like the introduction of all the scenes. I'm sure we'll stick with one for a while, and then paths will cross. And
I hope so, because I didn't feel like I got any real progress in anything.
You see, I think that it's not going to stick with the Colosseum for the most part, because it's going to get into Group B, and I think it's going to be basically Bartolomeo is going to win that one, because they've
Isn't
just
Luffy
kind of established
B?
Men. Huh?
Luffy's in Group B.
Oh, is he?
Sorry, Lucy's in Group B.
I thought he was C.
I thought he was B and Rebecca was C.
Oh, maybe I had that backwards. Okay. But, so, I guess because B's starting, if Luffy's in B, then we'll probably stick with that one. But then after he wins, because I'm assuming that he is going to win.
I'm sorry. Luffy's in C and Rebecca's in D. So.
Oh, okay. So we don't... Yeah, so maybe Bartolomeo will win B. But anyway, I don't think it's going to focus on the fight with B. Well, I think it's basically going to be the Colosseum fight is going on, and we're going to deal with the other scenes for a while.
Well, I mean, clearly the endgame here is Jesus, Bartolomeo, Luffy, and Rebecca.
That would be my assumption.
And Luffy's not going to win the fruit, or if he does, he's going to just give it to somebody. Like, probably Rebecca.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find these establishments parts of the arcs to be the most boring.
I'm enjoying it because we get to, you know, speculate on everything that's going to happen.
I'm trying to see what group Cavendish is in, but I don't think they say.
Yeah, they don't. They haven't said.
So yeah, that was One Piece.
Yeah,
I liked it.
So we got. I didn't dislike it, but
You are right that there was really no forward progress. It was just kind of checking in with everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just get tabs on where everyone is this week.
I don't think it wouldn't have bothered me so much if we didn't just do that with Punk Hazard.
Yeah.
And we did it with Fishman Island too, but this everything after Fishman Island, I was just happy that it wasn't Fishman Island.
But Punk Hazard was less that and more just everybody running different places. Like, there was a lot of in progress, okay, we're checking with people and they're still running from point A to point B. Stuff is actually going on with each
That was the things. Joke we made week to week, was like, still running and talking.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. At least this is more active.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking, like, we're probably not going to see Kinemon much. We're probably not going to see Zoro and Sanji too much.
Yeah.
Things will work out. Oda knows what he's doing. Also, we should mention that thing you were showing us. I think you showed us, Greg, that Oda makes, like, 2 billion yen a year.
Oh, yeah. He last year he made over 2 billion yen. So he makes...
Which is around $200 million.
Well, he probably makes a bunch of licensing.
20?
Yeah, I thought it was 20 million annually.
Oh, you're right. It is 2 decimal places, not 1.
Yeah. Still, $20 million. Money. Yeah, it's at approximately $23,920,584.
I would say he earns it, though, reading about his schedule of getting like 2 hours of sleep a night.
Well, seemingly, even if he wasn't currently running One Piece, he'd still be making a lot of money.
Yeah, because some of that's just from licensing the characters. Like, a significant portion of it is.
And I'm sure that is going to last far after the manga ends. He's going to live a Toriyama life of just doing whatever the fuck he wants for the next 50 years.
Did you guys see Toriyama bash the Dragon Ball movie?
Wasn't he involved in it?
They asked him for ideas, and he gave them ideas, and they ignored them all.
This is the idea of what if Goku eats some meat and then punches somebody?
Probably.
But yeah, so floating around as well, I saw it on the One Piece subreddit. There's this panel thing of a bunch of images of the people that this person at least assumed that the characters were designed off of. And it's pretty neat because a lot of these seem pretty spot on.
Wow. The only one is really close.
What'd you say?
Lucci?
Yeah. No, the only one that is confirmed to be false in this one is they had Whitebeard and Hulk Hogan, and Whitebeard is confirmed by Oda to be based off of some old bartender that he used to know.
I don't get the Michael Jackson Hody Jones one.
Yeah, I'm not getting that one either.
Yeah.
I guess he did turn white.
The Ivana Rocky Horror Picture Show thing makes complete sense.
Oh yeah, that one's
obvious.
I knew the Mankind one too. For us.
Yeah, that didn't occur to me until I saw it, but
he's
yeah,
wearing Mankind's face mask.
Also, Capone being like Capone, duh?
Yeah.
That's the joke.
But yeah, I liked the, you know, unnamed Gorosei ones having Mahatma Gandhi and then that's Gorbachev, right? And he has the, you know, balding stain on his forehead the exact
the birthmark.
Same way.
Yeah. I don't buy the
iceberg.
Yeah, the Iceberg Clooney one is that's a bridge too far.
I enjoy how in some of these they found the people wearing like the clothes that they wear in One Piece.
Yeah.
Like Doflamingo.
Yeah.
I don't like the Bon Clay Jim Carrey thing.
I don't see it. The Ace Ventura one I always assumed.
Well, yeah, no, that one is the only ones that have actually been confirmed by Oda were Eminem being NL.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Frankie being Ace Ventura. The white beard being the bartender. And then the three admirals.
Yeah.
Everybody else is speculation. But I don't know. It's a fun little thing. I'd recommend looking around for it if you feel like a distraction.
But yeah, off One Piece then.
Yeah.
And we have two chapters of Assassination of the Last Room.
I guess we should try to bang through them.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the first one doesn't really have much to it. It's just an entirely one-off joke chapter.
Yeah.
The artist guy gets into henna tattoos and gives it henna tattoos. Which there are...
I think henna tattoos are weird.
Yeah. When I was in Vegas, there was like a stall doing them like every 5 feet.
Yeah, so he makes a bunch and Kuro-sensei gets jealous and wants to compete.
And Irina comes in and everyone's got tattoos all over their bodies.
Yeah. I did like the moment where he had ground up some of the like Nerf stuff into one of them and was drawing on Kuro-sensei and it started melting him.
Yeah. Like that was a good
very
twist. Yeah.
Fortunately, it's a little slow.
Yeah. So they all decide to write on Irina, who backs up and knocks herself out.
And then
they decide now she's a perfect participant.
Kuro-sensei and Sugiya have a contest on each of her arms to see how well they can draw.
Yeah.
And all I can think is, wow, this poor woman.
Yep.
She really has kind of become the whipping boy of this series somehow.
I like the gag that Kuro-sensei can't draw patterns, so he just draws a manga on her.
About
a four coma.
About an octopus. And then I love how Sugiya like makes it all patterny, and then Kuro-sensei goes and draws a mustache and glasses on her face.
And for somehow they draw like armor and.
Well, I'm assuming Kuro-sensei that they just got those pieces of armor and put them on her.
I love
the best gag is that there's a Dragon Quest slime on her boob.
Oh, I was gonna say that that's the best gag is the script bitch on her arm.
Yeah.
In English.
So she wakes up and she looks at herself and just calmly walks away and then comes back with actual real guns and starts shooting at everybody.
To which Sugiya has to point out, like, we didn't set them, they'll wash right off.
But she's still mad because she missed her summer debut.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing, the chapter is it's summer now.
Yeah.
So 4 months have passed, 8 months left.
And drawing guide says that, oh, old teachers used to get really mad when I drew on my homework.
That is true. I got shit a lot about that in school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't remember if it was last week and I just talked to you guys about it or whether we talked about it on the podcast that we found out when Japanese school year starts.
Oh, no, wait. We didn't talk about Assassin's Collection last week.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the podcast. I think we looked it up afterwards.
Yeah, okay. So,
July, right?
Yeah. Or, well, no, it starts in April.
April, yeah. Okay.
The new school year starts in April, so.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so Koro-sensei not only likes his drawings, but also adds on to them. So he feels like he has a teacher that understands him.
Yeah. I see.
And then they show Cicada, so you know it's summer.
Yep. You can almost hear their annoying chirps.
Yeah, actually, yep. Isn't it this year supposed to be really bad? It's the 17 year or something like that?
The locust?
In America, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the cicadas, yeah.
No, it's locust.
No, I thought it was cicadas in America. There's two different cycles. There's one that's 11 year and one that's 17, I think it is.
Well, yeah, I know there's the thing of, like, they lay their eggs in the ground and then they eventually hatch. But I'm not sure. I thought I remember reading that it was, like, there's going to be, like, a plague of locusts on the East Coast this year.
Yeah, I think that was just cicadas. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
You got some kind of bug to deal with this year, Imran.
Yeah, have fun, Imran. I remember those from when I was a kid, and they were fun when you would walk down the sidewalk and be crunching on the shells constantly.
You know what we get up here? Bumblebees.
I'm already dealing with the pollen shit. Like, I don't even keep my car outside. It somehow it's covered in pollen.
It just like that yellow
awful around here.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it like rains and it's just this horrible streaky crap all over your car.
Yeah.
Unless it rains hard enough and then it's nice and clean. But
at one point here, I'm like washing my car every other week.
Like I tried to keep my car outside the other day just because I knew it was going to rain. And somehow all the pollen not only stuck to the car, but all the leaves that were coming off the trees from right above where I parked it managed to stick to the pollen.
I mean, it's basically like your car is covered in flour and you're adding water to it.
Yeah.
I basically look like I should be driving through a parade at the way it was looking.
Yeah, wow. We have
anyway,
a pressure
anyway,
washer
that
now.
That was a nice tangent. We still have another chance.
I wanted to keep talking about washing cars.
The most exciting of manga. There should be a car washing manga. Get to it, Japan.
I mean,
so
I kind of
color pages.
Yeah, it has the lead cover and the lead color.
So at the start of the chapter, they're discussing Koro Sensei with Karasuma.
Yeah, and it's established that it is July now, specifically.
And Karasuma's not doing his job because he was supposed to be their number one ace in the hole agent.
And then we get the cover page of the assassination restaurant.
Which I'm going to say I'm 99% sure that the mangaka switched Nagisa and Girl Nagisa's heads.
Yeah, I was looking at it after you said that. And it's like, they're like posed the same angle and like...
She's dressed in the male vest and bow tie, and Nagisa's got a fucking figure on him.
He's got some nice hips. I'm just going to say it.
It's really kind of disturbing.
He's also like wearing a skirt instead of pants, like Karma.
Yeah,
that is decidedly possible.
You can see the boy's uniform right next to him, which Karma is wearing. But he does have Nagisa's, he does have his regular wristbands that he always wears, so.
That's true. I seriously do wonder if he changed it. Like, maybe I should put Nagisa up front.
Maybe, yeah, that's like the note that came back was like, Nagisa's the main character, he has to be up front, not the background. And now all of a sudden Nagisa's like 34, 26, 34.
It's an hourglass figure.
I
like the touch that where he keeps the kitchen utensils are like grenades and knives.
Instead of cloves of garlic, it's grenades.
Yeah.
I also like how it's actual, like, just a photograph of real food, just kind of pasted in there.
Yep, manga. I enjoy they're like trying to keep the cover of Science Girl pouring liquid into the wine.
Yeah.
It's a good cover page.
It is. It's just that one thing, weird, kind of strange.
You got weird feelings for Nagisa now?
On to Assassination Classroom.
I mean, I know Robin pointed that out and raised like that he might be actually a girl. I'm pretty sure we have seen him in the boys' bathroom. So.
Yes.
And, you know, and they specifically talked with him about which of the girls he liked and all of that sort of stuff.
Maybe Class E is really progressive.
Maybe that's why he got moved to Class E. It is Japan.
Give it, Girl Nagisa.
So they go to Kurosawa, who's do like he believes his main mission is to train this generation of assassins.
And those they are getting better.
Yeah, and it gives basically his personal evaluations of who the best people in the class are.
Yeah, some people get really close to actually hitting him.
And some
Actually,
people actually do, yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
those two dudes that we haven't really seen before, Yuma and Hiroto. Or no,
Yeah.
wait, Mehara, that's the dating dude, isn't it?
Probably.
That's the player.
There's a lot of like short-haired blonde guys here.
Yeah, I was
Yeah,
gonna say
I like how it segued from his internal thoughts of, and then there's Koro-sensei, and then Koro-sensei starts talking with the same type of panels.
you
Yeah.
know, I can almost
Well,
picture that joke in the anime of Koro Sensei like doing an impression of his voice and just continuing the inner monologue.
I mean, they get some decent Koro-sensei jokes in here. That being like the funniest one. But then he starts to think about like other people who don't really care that much and don't really put that much effort into their assassinations, and then he feels a killing intent behind him, like a
And turns
snake.
around and then just decks Nagisa.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. Just bitch slaps him and he bounces and keeps going.
Which is something they've brought up before, that Nagisa's, he has the heart of a stone cold killer.
Yeah. They're gonna find, like, kitten heads in his backpack at some point, and they're gonna go, like, oh crap, this was a bad idea.
I'm guessing he's gonna be able to one that be the one that kills Kuro Sensei or is the gets the closest to doing so.
He's gonna have that moment of, like, I could have killed you just now, but I didn't.
Yeah. Or he kills whatever's trying to kill Kuro Sensei.
So Nagisa and Baseball Dude laugh it off and walk away.
Yeah, as Kurosawa was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Because he felt the killing intent,
Yeah,
but he
that
didn't
was
know it was
the
Nagisa.
page with the snake wrapped around his neck is really well drawn.
Yeah.
This guy's a really good artist.
Yeah.
Except
Like,
hips.
I remain resolute in my theory.
I could do that in Photoshop in a couple minutes, so.
Just switch him back.
Yeah.
And so they're continuing training, and Kuro Sensei is like meditating, I guess, or happily
In
peaceful.
India.
Is he in India, or is it just showing that he's meditating?
Oh no, he's in the sandbox, huh? And he made a Taj Mahal out
Oh,
of
that makes
sand.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the students invite Karasuma to come to tea with them.
But he can't because he has a Ministry of Defense meeting.
I do like that the students like really like him.
Yeah. Koro-sensei points out that he has the heart of a teacher.
Yeah.
And then we see how he used to be before coming to the class when it's, you know, showing his performance at the airport forces, which is hilarious.
Like he's elbowing someone in the face while he has someone else in the
And he looks so happy doing it.
headlock. Well, they say he was an instructor back then too.
But he was
So like,
demonic.
yeah.
So he's softened up a little bit when it comes to kids.
But they think that he's like wasting too much time in this Koro-sensei thing teaching these kids when he could just kill Koro-sensei
Well,
himself.
they think he's splitting his attention too much between physical training and advice.
Yeah.
Like, not doing either.
In another good Koro-sensei gag where they have him like cleaning the windows listening.
Yeah, I like that punctuates their point about this not going well by saying he's watching us and listening to us right
Like
now.
there wasn't even a panel of them pretending not to notice. It was just him there.
So then it cuts back to the school.
Yeah. Then they told him that his old one of his old partners, Takaoka Akira, is coming.
Yeah, the and he is hugely friendly and has a bunch of snacks for all the students that are apparently very expensive.
Yeah, he emptied out his wallet buying these snacks.
He's also apparently supposed to be fat, I think. Someone says that he's huge.
I mean, he's kind of chubby,
Yeah, a
I
little bit.
guess.
He's thick.
Yeah. He seems
It's Japan.
well built more than fat.
Yeah.
Japan.
Anyway, the kids all really like him because he bought good looking food.
Yeah, he has the a fun uncle kind of tone.
Yeah.
And they inform Kurosawa, or one of the Ministry of Defense people informs Kurosawa that he's being replaced with regard to training the children,
Yeah.
that Takaoka is doing all that.
Basically becoming the new PE teacher.
And Kurosawa has his focus is going to be dealing with the special assassins, like I guess Ritsu and the other kid.
Yeah. Raditz.
Giving
Then it
them
was a weird,
advice.
there was kind of a strange thing where she was like, I worry for the students because that man is a dangerous deviant. And I know, and like critically thinking that this doesn't mean he's a pedophile, But that's sort of the way it comes off.
It did not. Yeah. That didn't even enter my head.
It totally, like, an extremely dangerous deviant that you worry about the students.
Yeah, because he's a killer.
That doesn't make him a... When you say the word deviant, I assume something, you know...
Oh, something more playful, like pedophilia, huh?
I didn't say playful, I said worse.
Yeah, that is something that comes to mind when you use the term deviant.
Yeah. Like, obviously it's not going to be a pedophile, because that would be a weird place to take this manga.
See, I'm thinking it's just going to be, he's a dude that likes killing way too much.
Yeah, one of those, that's certainly it.
One of those people. And it,
like this, I assume he's a sociopath, and this is how he assumes you live or work with other people. You buy them things, and they like you.
Yeah.
Seems like a reasonable direction to take it in.
I bet the thing's going to be, he's going to start being way too hard on the kids, and like,
Kurosawa has to like, save them.
Physically hurting them during the training.
Yeah. Like, I'm guessing there's, the line will be drawn between Kurosawa realizing he should not have decked Nagisa and Takaoka just decking the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah, almost slitting Karma's neck or something.
Yeah. It'll probably be so hard on them that people like Karma are just going to give up and leave.
Yeah. So do you think this guy's going to stick around after being reformed?
I don't think so. I think he's going to be around for one arc and then it's going to go back and that, Kurosuma is going to take over his previous role.
I think he needs to be careful with how many teachers he has.
Yeah,
I think
they're probably going to introduce more students than teachers.
The three right now, I think, works.
Especially since Arena is basically just... She had her one arc, but she's mostly a joke character.
They have the energetic guy, the quiet guy, and the girl.
Yeah.
Parallels.
if you didn't say that, I was going to.
Parallels.
Well, we talked about what we think's going to happen next week.
Yeah.
Good chapter.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah. When I was dissing all the manga last week, Assassination Classroom was still pretty decent. Or earlier in the podcast, rather.
Yeah,
it feels like last week.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed a fair amount of this week. I don't think it was that poor.
I think it was a lot of setups for stuff that's going to happen eventually.
I think, yeah, between Naruto and One Piece just kind of turning the cogs a little bit, you felt a little, I don't know,
it was,
blue-balled by it. Like,
please understand.
It's just edging so close to something happening and then stops.
Yeah. Which kind of describes almost every manga except Beelzebub this week. And Nisekoi. Nisekoi, for all the bullshit, it actually did its own thing.
I don't know. Beelzebub kind of was a little incremental in its own right.
I don't know. She put on her coat.
Oh, well, she put on a coat. You're right.
Her role as the top.
I think you guys underestimate how funny I find that she stole Nene's coat.
I find that pretty funny, too.
Because it just totally ruins her character. And it's amazing. All right. I say we're done.
Yep.
I can agree with that.
This has been your Thursday, April 11th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
No lightning.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week. Did you see that thing about how at Disney's park they used to... whenever the Toy Story characters would hear someone yell, "Andy's coming," they'd like fall limp. But then the internet got a hold of this, and when it used to happen like twice a day, it started happening like 200 times a day, so they had to stop doing it.
That's fantastic.
That would be amazing to be the first person to yell that and just watch them all do it and just be like, whoa.
What just happened?